was no one left. Now we know, Meshav Nefesh mentions in Medrash, that that night, before Shmuel had a chance to kill Agag, Agag spent the night with a certain lady, a baby was conceived, and Chazal say that from that union came Haman. Okay, but from the Pashup Shah, the simple reading of the Psukim, everyone was wiped out. So it should be no one around, at least for the next 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. If you look at source number 2, Perek Lamed, say for Shmuel Aleph, right before Shaul was killed. So Vayihi Pasuk Aleph, Vayihi Bevo David Vanashim Tziklag Vayom HaShlishi. They came to Tziklag, Vamaleki Pashtu Al Negev Al Tziklag Vayagut Tziklag Yisrael So Vayesh. Also we hear a band of Malekim less than 2 years later. Where did they come from? And so what happened? So the way it's explained today is that when we speak about a Malek, it wasn't one nation. There were different tribes of a Malek. Different tribes. So Shaul HaMelech dealt with one tribe, but there are other tribes. So the question that can be asked is, other tribes, how can it be that Shmuel did not tell Shaul to wipe out that tribe? That was only one tribe was wiped out. It's mitzvah, ki yamcha, macho evi. It says, macho timcha. Why did they only go after that tribe? And then, so what happens? So David HaMelech wanted to make sure, to see if he would be successful. So he asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu, if I go ahead and fight HaMelech, I'll be successful in taking back what was taken. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, through Urim V'Tumim, told him, there's no halacha, you have to wipe out the women and the children. There's no, the same halacha, the same idea which Shmuel told Shaul, was not told over to David HaMelech. So obviously we see that there's something very unique about the war against HaMelech. As I said, it seems in an official capacity, it only happened once. So I'd like to understand tonight, what exactly is the mitzvah of wiping out HaMelech? Now before I begin, I would just say I'm not going to explain how there'd be such a mitzvah. I know it's a very difficult mitzvah, very hard for us to understand. Baruch Lichten Zecher Tzadik Livracha once said that he spent many hours, nights, thinking, how can it be such a mitzvah the Torah would tell us to wipe out, to kill little babies? Then he came to the conclusion that Reb Chaim Brisker was a tremendous Baal Chesed. Reb Chaim was known that if you had a baby that was born out of wedlock, you didn't want to keep him. Very simple address. Keep her. Very simple address. Drop it on Reb Chaim's doorstep. No questions asked. And he would take care of the baby. So Reb Chaim Brisker didn't stay up nights wondering about this halacha. Reb Aaron said, I'm not going to stay up nights either. Which means there's certain things we can't understand. So we're not going to stand, but just to understand when this halacha applies and how it applies. So first let's begin with discussing the halachas about the Muhammad against the Canaanim. So this appears in Parsha Shoftim towards the end of the Parsha, source number 3. Torah tells us, Kisikra vel ir li lochem aleha v'karasa lo shalom. When you come to a city to fight a war against the city, you should first call out in peace. If they want to have peace, the Torah says certainly, the requirements are the nation has to be for mass, they have to pay a tax. We'll explain what that means in a few minutes. And they'll have to serve you. Again, the Rambam will explain what that means. If they do not want to make peace with you, then the Torah continues, you should make war with them, you should oppress them, and the son of Hashem will kach v'yadach, and HaKadosh Baruch will give you to their hands. V'yikisus kol zechura l'fichorev, and you have to wipe out every male. However, pasi gedalid rak hanoshim v'atah, the women and the children of the hema, the animals of Cholashi of the ear, Kol Shlal Atavos Lach, you can give everything, v'achalta, as Shlal Evechash, and Asar Shlach Lach. However, that's what you do, the Torah tells us, to the cities that are not part of the Zion Amim, that are not part of Eretz Yisrael proper, which is really a Melchemes Rishus, a war which is not obligatory war. However, Pasuk Tezayin, Rak Me'areya Amim, from the cities and the nations of Eila, Asher Hashem will kecha, nosein lecha, that Hashem will give you, L'nachal lo sechaya kol neshama, so no one should remain alive. Now I'd like to point out that that as opposed, when it comes to Molech, the Torah does not say Lo Sechai Kol Neshama. The Torah says Timcha Zechra Molech. I'll come back to that. But Lo Sechai Kol Neshama, when it comes to anyone from the Zion Amamim, Ki Achrim Tachrimim, to destroy them, the Torah lists off the various nations. Why? Pasuk Yedches, Lamana Shilamdu Eschem Lasos. They should not teach you to do like all their abominations that they do for their gods. V'chatasim L'Hashem Elokeichem. So that's the halacha. So there's a machlokas Rishonim. Many in the Mefarshim, including Rashi, basically say the first few psukim which speak about calling out for peace only applies to a Mechemes Rishus. In other words, according to Rashi, and the Ramban quotes it, if when Yeshua ben Nun went ahead and he wanted to fight a war, let's say for example against Jericho, against Ai, and all the other cities, there was no calling for peace. That was it. There was nothing to speak about. Where do we speak about Shalom ba peace? That's only when we're fighting a war against those nations of Mechemes Rishus that are not within the Zion Amim. That's how Rashi explains it. The Ramban quotes Rashi. And Ramban takes issue with this. If you look at source number 4, Dvarim Terechah Pasuk Yud, Torah says, the Ramban says, "V'mechamas Rishus akasav medaber," quoting Rashi, "K'moshim afurish v'inyan." Cain said, "This is what you do all to all the cities that are far." Lashon Rashi, and the Ramban says Rashi learned this from the Sifri, from Chazal. But Ramban says, when the Chazal say that these halachas only apply from Mechemes Rishus, so that's referring not to Psukim Yud Aleph or in Yud Beis. That's referring to Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Dalid, and Pasuk Tezvav. In other words, according to Ramban, we have to call out to Shalom to everybody, to everyone. He says, however, once the nations do not want to make peace with us, then already there's a different approach. If we're speaking about the cities that are outside Eretz Yisrael, not the Zion Am, the seven nations, so then the halach would be that we have to fight a war, of course, and we have to fight a war with them, and we would have to kill all the males, but not the children, not the ladies. But if we're speaking about the Zion Amamim, so then the seven nations, then at that point, we would have to go ahead and we have to wipe everyone out. But according to Ramban, the first half of these psukim is referring to everybody. That we have to call out to Shalom everybody. And it brings the Raya, proof, that the Yerushalmi says that Yeshua ben Nun sent out 3 edicts, 3 messengers to the nations. And the first one is, if you want, you can make peace, what the order was. Or if you want, you can evacuate. And we know that Yergoshi, Chazal tell us, evacuated. Or if you want, you can have war. So the Ramban says, we see that they made peace with, they gave an opportunity to everyone to have Shalom. So the Mizrahi explains that what really happened was you can only call out for Shalom before the Jews crossed the Yarden. Like Moshe Rabbeinu did when he tried to make Shalom with Sichon, Melech Amori. But once they crossed the Yarden, Mizrahi, according to Rashi, there was no chance for peace. But according to the Ramban, yes, we try to quote each time to have Shalom, if they would agree to our terms, with everyone in the nations. The Rambam, hold like the Ramban, and I'd like to go through the Rambam. So the Rambam is Hilchos Melachim Perek Vav, Halacha Aleph, and the Rambam says, Ein osin milchama im adam ba'olam, at shekaron lo shalom. The Rambam is very specific. We don't make milchama with anybody in the world until we ask if they want to come to an agreement with us. Echad mochemes rishus, whether it's a mochemes rishus, I would just describe it as not an obligatory war. The echad mochemes mitzvah, and whether it's a mochemes mitzvah. So what's a mochemes mitzvah? Mochemes mitzvah number one is a war against the Zion Amamim, seven nations, or mochemes amalek, which we'll speak about. Or the third is obviously if a nation tries to attack us. Or even if the Aruch HaShulchan Asid said, even if there's a chance that the nation will attack us. That's a Mechemes Mitzvah. So the Rambam goes on. He says like this, V'krasa l'shalom, im hishlimu, if they make shalom, which means that they agree to the terms, the kiblu sheva mitzvah shenitzav b'nei Noach, and they agree to follow the seven Noachide laws, aleihen ein horgem neshama, you do not kill even one soul, b'harein lamas, they should be for attacks, and they have to be for avdus, lamas l'avducha. So Rambam explains, what does lamas mean, what does attacks mean, and what does l'avducha, to serve you, mean? So the Rambam explains that the number one, he says, to serve, that's that they should be able to do work that's not necessarily dignified work. To understand if the Kananim are allowed to remain, like the Givonim are allowed to remain in the country, we have the perspective that they cannot inspire us, they cannot teach us. Therefore the Rambam says, we should see them as people who are doing, in a certain sense, our slave labor for us. They're doing work which would not be considered dignified work. And what's mas? Mas should seem, it should be obvious. You pay taxes. So the Rambam does say that. The Rambam says, "Va'mas sheyikablu sheyimuchanim lavodas hamelach, do service for the king, the gufam, or their money, like building the walls and fortifying the fortresses and building the palaces. That is what they have to do. And obviously, they have to keep the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach." Because halacha is that if there is someone who does not decide the terms of peace, if terms of agreement, so we have to make sure that everyone who is living within our jurisdiction keeps the Zayin Mitzvah Noach, the seven Noachide laws. So that's the halacha when it comes to making peace. And the Rambam holds, like the Ramban, same opinion, that this applies to every nation, even when it comes to Mechemes Mitzvah, that we have to first call out for peace. The Rambam Halacha Dalet says, "Vim lo hishlimu." Let's say they don't want to agree to peace. Oh, sheishlimu v'lo kivlu sheva mitzvos. Or they go ahead and they do agree to peace, but they don't accept upon themselves the seven mitzvos. Then you make mechama. And the Rambam says, like the Torah tells us, "V'hargin kol azacharim," you kill all the males, hagadolim, "ubozizin kol mamonim v'tapam," and you're allowed to take all their money and their children, "vein hargin lo isha v'lo katan," and you don't kill any ladies, you don't kill the ladies, you don't kill the children, "shenemar v'at noshim v'ataf z'atav shel zacharim." And then the Rambam goes on, and he says, "Avamedvarmur," when do these words apply? "Shehu imsharo umos." That is when they're with the rest of the nations. Those nations that are not really part of Eretz Yisrael proper. "Avoshiva amamim v'amolek shelo ishlimu." But the seven nations that Amalek did not pay peace, "Eim anichem mehem neshama." You are not allowed to go ahead, and you're not allowed to leave behind any soul. "Shenemar kain tasalachol rach me'ori amin lo sechayel kol neshama v'cheinu omer v'amolek." Not lo sechaya, even though they're compared. You're supposed to make shalom. And even though the halacha is that you're supposed to make shalom, and even though by both you have to kill everybody, in regard to the Kananim, the Torah says lo sechaya kol neshama. In regard to Amalek, the Torah uses the expression Timcha et Zechar Amalek. And we have to understand, what are we learning? Why this phraseology, Timcha et Zechar Amalek, and not the idea of Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama? So, let's just look very quickly at the parsha we're going to read the Shabbos, Parshas Kisetze. So, this is the end of Kisetze. Zochar es asher asocha Amalek, baderech zeschem Mitzrayim, asher karucha baderech. What happened on the road? They went after the weakest ones. You were tired. When you're at rest, you have a melech. Rashi points out, what does Timcha Zechra Malek mean? Nitziv says Timcha Zechra Malek means there should be no Malchus. But Rashi, and almost all the Forshim, and the Rambam, Timcha Zechra Malek means Me Ishad Isha, Me Olavad Yonik, Me Shorvad Seh, Shelo Yehe Shema Malek, Niskor Afil Al Behema. So you have to understand what is the special mitzvah of destroying Amalek. I'll just mention one more idea before we continue. The Avnei Nezer asked the question. So somebody wants to know, what's the source that when it comes to Mohammed's mitzvah, you can go out for peace? So that's obviously because the Torah tells us in Parsha Shoftim that when you deal with this, the Zion Amim, the way the Rabban explains it in the Rambam, the seven nations, you should go out for peace. But the Avnei Nezer asks, where do we see anywhere in the Torah that when it comes to Amalek, you have to go and call for peace? The Torah clearly says, he said, Timcha Zechra Amalek. Who says you should call for peace? So the Avnei Nezer explains that when it comes to Canaan, there we need a chiddush. The Torah has to tell us that you should go ahead and you should call out for peace. Why? Because the Canaanim were wicked. We're destroying the Canaanim because they're going to be a bad influence on us. They worship Avodah Zarah. And we have to know, we have to understand that you have to wipe them out. So even if they want to make peace, but they did sins in their lifetime until we came. So who says we're allowed to offer them an alternative for peace? Who said they can do tshuva? So the Torah tells us, yes, even for the Canaanim, that we are going to wipe out and destroy because they were wicked and they did all sorts of abominations against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We have to offer them alternative for shalom. They can go ahead and they can be kind to Zion mitzvos. They can go ahead and pay a tax or work as a tax. Or they can go and they have to also, of course, do servitude, do labor, which is not dignified labor, which would not raise them on a pedestal. But where do we see that Amalek, what's the reason that Amalek, we're destroying Amalek? The Torah just says, one simple reason. If you look at the simple reading in the Pesukim, Torah says one simple reason. Zachar Esta Shirasta Amalek Vaderech Cheschem Mitzrayim. Simple reason. Remember what Amalek did. Ashir Karucha Vaderech. When you were on the road. How they attacked you. They got you at your weakest moment. It seems from the simple reading of Sukkot, not because of what's going on right now, but because of something that happened in the past. And as a matter of fact, when Shaul went ahead and, I'm sorry, when Shmuel went ahead and Shmuel told Shaul that you have to go ahead and you have to fight Amalek. He says the same thing. Pakarati Esa Shiras Amalek Israel. Remember what Amalek did? Ashir Samuel Baderach Los Mitzrayim. Now go fight Amalek. From the simple reading of Sukkim, the reason why we have a war against Amalek is because of something that was done in the history. So there the Avnei Nezer says, you don't need the Torah to tell us you can call out for Shalom. Once we know, you can make Shalom with the Canaanim. We have a rule in the Torah, Yom Sovas Albanim. We don't hold a child liable for the sins of his father, of his ancestors. So once we understand by the Canaanim for Shalom, it will be obvious that when it comes to the Amalekim, we can make shalom. So I'd like to sort of modify the answer a little bit based on something I heard from my father. First, let's deal with two Rambams, and then I'll try to put it all together. So the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, Perek Hey, Halacha Dalet, and Halacha Hey. Now I would just say that the Rambam here is according to the Girsa of Rav Kapach, earlier manuscripts in the Frankel Rambam. So the Rambam here is discussing the halacha about destroying, against fighting a war against the Shiva Amamim. And the Rambam here says, Mitzvah Saseh Lahachrim Shiva Amamim. It's Mitzvah Saseh to destroy the seven nations, Shenemar Hachrim Tachrimim. And the Rambam interestingly says, and he does not say this by Amalek, V'chol Shiboy L'yado Echad Mehem. If you're walking down the street, the Rambam says, and you see a Kanani, do not make shalom, the Rambam says. The low harago, and you don't kill him, over below sase, you over lo sase shenemar, lo sechaya kol neshama. So according to the Rambam, if you see a Kanani on the street, and you don't kill him, you're over lo sase. This halacha practically does not apply anymore, because the Rambam says, kvar avdu, according to the Girsa of Rav Kapach, they're already lost, and therefore avad zichram. Their memory is lost also. In the regular gears, it just says, V'kfar avad zichram. Kfar avdil, they're lost. V'avad zichram. So, according to the Rambam, it seems, even though we have to fight a war against Kanaan, but killing every individual Kanani is a halacha chiyuv and individual. That a Rambam, actually, even though we are there are no Kanaanim around anymore, the Rambam does count this mitzvah in Sefer HaMitzvos. And he goes through, because for Rambam that's very problematic. Because the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos only counts those mitzvos that will apply for generations. And the Rambam says, how can I count this mitzvah, the Sefer HaMitzvos? It doesn't apply anymore. He says, no. It does apply. Why? Because if there were Kanaanim, it would apply. The halacha is still in force. It happens that there are no Kanaanim. And Rambam says, kfar avad avad zichram. So because of that, practically, we can learn the halachas, but it doesn't apply. The Rambam is very clear. If you look at halacha, hey, when he discusses Amalek, the Rambam does not say that Amalek does not exist anymore. The Rambam seems to imply, yes, Amalek is still here. I'm not going to make any implications who Amalek is. Okay, I'm not so smart. So he says like this. He says, Palacha hey, V'chein mitzvah asay, la'aved, and this next word is very important. In the regular Rambam, the word is Zecher Amalek. In the manuscripts of Rav Kapach and the Frankel Rambam, here it says La'abed Zera Amalek, very important. It's mitzvah say to wipe out the Zera, the seed, the descendants of Amalek. Shenemar, as it says, Timcha Zecher Amalek, U'mitzvah say Liskor Tamid Masav Haroyim Varivaso. And the mitzvah say to always remember their evil actions, how they stood against us, k'day la'or evaso, to awaken the hate, shenemar zoch eshos ha'u amelek, v'pi ha'shmua lomdu, zoch rebeh lo tishkach v'lev, sh'osor lishkoach evaso v'sinoso, it's osor to forget the hate and the enmity that he had for us. And that's what Shmuel said to Shaul. So we have to understand, what is the mitzvah of Amalek, and Why does the mitzvah still apply? We don't know of any Amalekim. The Rambam seems to imply that probably when it comes to Kanaanim, we probably will not have the opportunity again to fight a war against Kanaan. But it could be we will have the opportunity to wage a war against Amalek. So how do we understand this? Rav Elvel, the Brisker Rav, and my father, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, not exactly sure who said what. My father explained Rav Elvel, explained the need for a Navi. He says that there is not always a chiyuv to wipe out a Amalek. The chiyuv to wipe out a Amalek is only at the point when a Amalek has reached a level of total evil. In other words, we're not wiping out a Amalek because they did something when we left Mitzrayim. Yes, that's part of it. But that has become part of their heritage. And when Amalek links up and joins and learns from their heritage, that is when this chiyuv, this obligation kicks in. And for that reason, we need a Navi. Because only a Navi can tell us that Amalek has reached that level. And that's why Shmuel had to come to Shaul. And Shmuel said to Shaul, it's time. And that's why possibly, as we said, there were different tribes. So how come Shaul did not go after the other tribes? Why did one tribe remain? Because maybe this tribe had reached that level, and the other tribe did not reach that level. And even when this tribe went ahead and went into Tziklag, they went into Tziklag for a reason. He says, they wanted to take animals, they took certain ladies. But it wasn't at a total enmity and hate as the Amalekim had done when the Jews left Mitzrayim. Because the halacha of wiping out Amalek, it's not like people think that, you know, it seems like the Torah tells us, you know, clear genocide. No. Torah is telling us, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us through the clear tzivui of a Navi, that Amalek has reached the lowest level, at that point, we have to wage the war. When it comes to the Kanaanim, difference is, there we're taking over Eretz Yisrael, which is our right. and we can't allow the Kananim to remain here unless it's Lamas, it's Lavaducha, with the Zaymits of Neinoach, because they were influenced to lead us in the wrong way. But Amalek is a totally different story. We sort of become a Kadosh Baruch Hu's partners in waging the war against evil, but that is only when a Navi tells us. And that's why a Navi had to go ahead and to come tell us. And that's why it's interesting, the Rambam, that could be the difference. That's why the Rambam says, Mitzvah Zaseh La'abed Zera Amalek. What does it mean, Zera Amalek? In other words, it has to be somebody according to Rambam that comes from Amalek, but also someone who comes from Amalek and identifies Amalek at that moment. He identifies. And that's why we need a Navi. So it could be Kfar Avad Zichra. We don't know who Amalek is. So it turns out that, let's say, for example, someone comes up next year or in 5 years and says, I'm from Canaan. Okay, it's very nice, he's from Canaan. But Canaan doesn't exist anymore. The nation doesn't exist. So you're going to go ahead, you're going to say, you know, you're going to go ahead and you're going to say, well, they're called Canaan. It's another nation that took the name of the Canaanim on. Sort of like Saddam Hussein looked at himself as the Machshemova Zichro, looked at himself as the successor to Nebuchadnezzar. It wasn't Babylonia. Cannot the nations. Therefore, he said Kfar Avad Zichram. But when it comes to Amalek, that's a different halacha. There, it's not the nation of Amalek. There, it's Zera Amalek. When a person wants to identify with Amalek, at that point, that's when the halacha kicks in. So, therefore, yes, that could happen in the future. But Navi will come and tell us this is Amalek, and right now he is identifying with the ideology of Amalek. He has reached total evil. At that point, that's where it kicks in. When it comes to Canaan, Kvar Avdu, they're lost already. And once they're lost, the nation doesn't exist. Avad Zichram, a person can't come and say, I'm a Canaanite. When it comes to Amalek, it's Allah of Zera Amalek. And for this reason, the Torah does not say, Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama. Torah says, Timcha Zechar Amalek. Because that, according to the way the Rambam explains it, Rashi explains it, Timcha Zechar Amalek means wipe out every Amaleki, someone who came from Amalek, that identified with Amalek. And maybe now we can understand, why is it that Shaul decided to spear Agag? I actually heard this from my father also. Why did he try to spear Agag? After all, Shmuel told him clearly. So Chazal tell us that Shaul HaMelech had a problem. He was questioning the whole idea of Egel Arufa, how a person gets murdered. We can go ahead and we can take the life of an animal. Or Shaul HaMelech is questioning how we can kill children. But my father explained it could be that Agag felt bad. He said he wanted to do tshuva. He said, I don't want to die. And because of that, Shaul felt, well, if he doesn't want to die, so at that point, that means he's not a Maliki. He is departed from that ideology. And I will keep him alive. And when he went ahead and saw Shmuel, the word he uses when he speaks to Shmuel, he says to Shmuel like this, Achein Sar Mara Mavest. Most unfortunate, explain. Death is approaching. The Rabbah explains, I don't want to die. But he was sort of trying to say, bitter death is coming. And in a certain way saying, not according to the Malbim, according to Adam HaForshim, I don't want to die. And Shmuel said, you don't want to die. Kashir shiklu nashim charbecha. Ken shikam nashim emecha. Father explained that, you know, we could forgive you. You can give up the ideology of Amalek. When you shed Jewish blood, we can't forgive that. In other words, sometimes a person can say, I don't identify with Amalek, and that tribe did. And sometimes you can say, you know what? I'm not identifying with you. But when he went ahead and he killed somebody, that action, purposely, he killed Jews permanently identify as Mamalik. And that's what Shmuel said to Agag. If you hadn't killed anybody, you could tell me that you're not a Mamalik. You've changed. But once you've killed somebody, then you are permanently identified as a Mamalik, and because you are from a Mamalik, I have to go and I have to kill you. I think we learn from here is the idea of identification. That identification with a nation, with a group, with people are so important. And if this is the idea of a Amalek, and as Chazal point out, again, it's not so clear, but Chazal definitely say that Haman HaRasha, whether he came from Amalek or not, Chazal say he came from Haman, he came from Agag. I'm going to force him to say maybe he identified with Agag, but he certainly identified with those who stood against the Jewish people. Haman Agag, Yitzhar, or Yudim. And what's the antidote? What's the antidote to dealing with a Haman, dealing with an Amalek? Obviously, they're all the Averis that brought Amalek upon us. But it's so important to identify with the Jewish people. So important. And as a matter of fact, Haman Harosha's main enemy, his arch rival, was Mordechai. And the truth is, if you look at the Pashup Shad and the Pesukim, we don't know much about Mordechai. Chazal tell us that he was a member of the Sanhedrin, he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, he was Adam Gadol. From the simple reading of the Pesukim, we know one thing about Mordechai. He was Mordechai Ish Yehudi. He was an Ish Yehudi. He was a person who identified himself in Persia as a Jew. And later on in the Megillah, after the whole story is happening, after, you know, Haman has been discovered, Haman has been hung, and the Jews are waiting for the day when they can defend themselves, at that point, the Torah tells us, everyone was happy, the Rabbin Me'ame Aretz Mitzyahadim. Many people from the Hebrew land became Jews. So what did they become? Jewish? You know, we're not allowed to accept a convert, Shlo L'shma. So it could be they acted like Jews. Rabbeinu Bechaye in Parsha Zos HaBracha, and I think that Nezer also says, Rabbeinu Bechaye certainly says this, when it says the word Rabin, it's referring to the Jewish people. Many of the Jews, what do you mean they became Jews? Rabin, he says, means Jews. But many of the Jews identified, after all, you have to understand that after Haman and Russia wanted to kill the Jews, you can imagine there were Jews that were hiding. They wanted to hide their Yadus. The Rabbim, the Amiars, Mishyadim, people came out, were proud to be a Jew. And if we're going to fight a Molech who identifies in Haman with those who want to destroy the Jews, we have to identify with the Jewish people, and all the organizations, the mosdos, the yeshivot, anyone who has aspirations to build the Jewish people up. I just want to finish off with a quick story from my father and then bring the shiur to conclusion. So when I was actually living in Hamilton, and I was young, you know, I'm still young, I don't know, but I was young then, and I think I was 28, 29, and there was a Yom HaShoah commemoration in Hamilton. Now, I have to tell you that I'm sure many of us are Olim. You don't feel Yom HaShoah in Chutz Laaretz, you can feel Yom HaShoah here. I remember the first year I was here, Yom HaShoah, and traveling on the road the first time, and you see all the... It was for me the first time I was riding the road and all the cars stopped. It was an amazing thing. But that night in Hamilton, there was a commemoration of the of all the shuls, synagogues in Hamilton, Orthodox, there was one Orthodox shul, conservative and reform. And there was no yeshiva that night. And I called up my father, Avaron Slavich, said, "Should I go?" So my father said to me, "And why would you not go?" So, I'm sure everyone has heard, you know, all the Torah about Yom HaShoah. It's in Chodesh Nisan, and you're supposed to go ahead and you commemorate the mourning for Yom HaShoah, for any tragedy on Tisha B'Av. And by the way, Today, when I think about it, it took a lot of chutzpah of me to ask the question because my father himself went ahead and spoke at Yom HaShoah commemorations. Okay, but I was young. My father did not scream me and say, "Why? I can't believe he asked that question." And then I said, also, like, I'm coming together with three shuls, conservative, reform, and orthodox. I didn't feel so comfortable. So my father didn't tell me, "You should commemorate Yom HaShoah," which he felt we should. He once spoke at Brooklyn College, and he was very clear about that. He didn't tell me that it's a problem with Chodesh Nisan. He said to me, and I think because he wanted to teach me a lesson, he said to me, "Maybe you're right. Maybe." He says, "But there's another reason why you should go ahead and you should join this commemoration. Because there are so many Jews all over the world that only have one mitzvah. And that is that they commemorate the Holocaust of Shoah. And they're going to do this one mitzvah and you're not going to join them." That's what he told me. I went. That was a very important lesson. That whenever we can join a Jew for something important, we have to identify. That's the only way we're going to deal with Amalek. So just again, we have to be proud of our Jewishness and identify of every organization that builds Yad Islaya. I once heard that, you know, when we speak about a eulogy, you know, at the funeral, during Shiva, after Shiva, we speak about the sadness in our life. But at some point, we have to start learning from the Nifter. And if I would say that one thing that anyone who in any way, not just knew Mr. Jiakan, going back to my youth, it's very hard for me to slip out of that. Sometimes I forget that, you know, I'm not 28 years old or 15. But he understood the importance of identifying with every organization. And if we speak about the fact that because a God did something, he was permanently identified. To be identified means not just to say, "Yeah, I'm a Jew." It doesn't mean just say, "Yeah, this shul is important. Mizrahi is important. This yeshiva is important." Real identification, real strength, comes from doing and acting. And that, in a certain sense, is the lesson we can learn how we're supposed to react to Amalek, and actually what we're supposed to learn from Purim itself also, because Purim there's a lot to do. So I say, if we want to come out and really learn a lesson from the Shir and learn a lesson from Yaakov ben Baruch, I think answer is to identify with all the Mosdot organizations, identify with the Jewish nation, with Am Yisrael. But not just identification, but to do the opposite of Agag, and to be like Mordechai, to do things, that shows true identification, and that's the way we can stand up to whether it's real Amalek or the ideological Amalek. That's what Am Yisrael needs. Yehi Zichro Baruch.